Good to be here with the Iker Chevra. Winding down the recording. All right, so we're on Yud Tes Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah of Shein V'Regel versus Arabim. So the Mishnah says that you're Chayv L'Shalem Masha Nene, even though you're Pater from Nezikin. Sounds familiar? Yeah. So I want to make just one very general ha'ara that's not related to our topic at hand, but it's related to something we saw much earlier in the year. So remember earlier in the year we had this question about how do you define a Rishus HaRabim L'Inyan Shein V'Regel? Is it like a Rishus HaRabim L'Inyan Shabbos? Is it just like a public place or anything that's not a Rishus HaYachid? Does anybody remember this discussion? Liad really raised it earlier in the year.
We didn't really discuss it, we just asked the question.
Yeah, we just posed the question. So here, from this Mishnah, you get a little bit of an answer to that. So, if you look here in the second part of the Mishnah, Ketza Mishalemes Mashanenis. So, Achla Mitocha Rechava Mishalemes Mashanenis. Mitzide HaRechava Mishalemes Mashayzika. So he says the chiluk between where the animal eats the peros within the market square. If it's Mitocha Rechava, which is like the main square, so then it's like Mamash Rishus HaRabim. Because that's where everybody travels and that's where all the animals go. So you pay mashanenis, but if it's mitzide harachava, which is more of like a less of a public area, it's really where the chanuyos are situated privately, and the rabbim only use it mitochat chak, then mishali masha ezika, it has the din of rishos anizak. So the point is, you see from this Mishnah that rishos rabbim, rishos ayochid is lav dafka. Right? It sounds like the real standard is who had the right of way in using that space in the market square. You can see in that Tosos on Chaf Aleph Med Aleph, from the next source, you see Venira Lari. Venira Lari did see de Rechava Chashivi Chatzer Hanizak. Shekolachad Yesh L'Rishus L'Hniach Peros of Kenegad Pesach Besa B'Tzidei Rechava. So again, that's the idea. Even though it's a Rishus Rabim, look, the opening right in front of your Rishus Hayachid is considered your Rishus. And so it has the din of Rishus Hanizak Le'inyan Chiv Nezikin. So if we wanted to look more into this Shiloh, we'd look into the Rishonim here to see exactly how to divvy up the Rishus Rabim versus Rishus Hanizak.
But that is for the Havara on Shabbos?
Well?
Those areas aren't for the Havara on Shabbos.
No, on Shabbos, it's really, I mean, they're special dinim for Tzidei Rechava also. So it may turn out that they're, usually it's associated with, usually it's a Carmelis. But that doesn't really tell you anything about what its status should be in Yen Nezikin.
Okay, I mean, okay. I guess you're just pointing out that the reason it has a different status than Rosh Hashanah, like Tzidei Rosh Hashanah is different status than Rosh Hashanah is different for Nezikin and for Shabbat.
Right. I mean, it's not about like the formal Shem Rishus, which is Koveya. According to the Ri here, it's really where you have Rishus L'Haniach Perosav. And, you know, the Rishus HaRabim versus Rishus HaNizak is meant to be a loose proxy for capturing who has the right of way in that space. Seder? Okay. So that's the first thing, just really a side point for our discussion. So the second thing is that clearly our Mishnah establishes, you can see this in the first source, the last phrase in the first paragraph, V'yimnenis mishalemis mashanenis, that even in cases where you're pater from Nezikin, you're chayiv for the Hanah. So we know, we'll see this soon, that in many areas of halacha, you're chayiv for hana, for just compensating for the benefits that you received. We'll try to figure out exactly what the mechayiv is in general. But the shaila that the Gemara immediately raises on Daf Chaf Med Aleph is, how do we evaluate the hana in these cases? So, Jonah, how do you evaluate the hana?
So we talked about earlier about whether it's like, you know, the chief, is it what your animal actually, like the full extent of what your animal actually benefited, or is it what you're gonna kind of like how you actually benefited?
What you're gonna save, right?
Right, exactly.
So you can mechalikare between a few things, right? So you might talk about, is it the hanas agavra that's mechayiv, or is it hanas abehema?
Right.
That's how much we're gonna charge him for. So the Gemara doesn't get into that granular of a discussion, but the Gemara in Chaf Min Aleph says Imnanis Mishalemes Vekama. So we have Machlokes Rabba and Rava. So Rabba Amir Amar Dmei Amir. Rava Amar Dmei Sorim Bizol. So the way Rashi explains this Gemara is that, look, the animal ate Seorim. That's the case. But you usually don't feed your animal Seorim. You usually feed it Kash and Viteven, something cheaper than Seorim. So let's say, for argument's sake, the animal ate a steak in Rosh Hashanah, but you usually feed it dog food. So according to Rabba, you would pay the amount of dog food that you saved by the animal eating the steak, right? So it sounds really like it's the amount the owner saved through the animal eating this thing. That's right. You see this Rashi?
Yeah.
Rashi divir maspa de meyamir sheim achal seorim kedei seviyasa ena mishalim lo ela damim shahayat sarich litein bekashin v'tevin lahachila. Right? The nene has an argument that he wasn't going to feed it a steak. He was only going to feed it dog food. Okay. And what about, what's Rava's position? Does anybody know? Isaac, you know Rava's position?
Sounds like you pay the cheapest possible price for the thing he ate.
Yeah, so you'd pay the Demesor and Bizil, which in this case would be like the cheapest price for a comparable steak. Right? So it sounds like Rava is more machmir, meaning, yes, you saved less. Yes, all you saved is the dog food amount, but you pay for the hana of the steak. We give you a bit of a discount, so you don't have to pay for how much this steak is actually worth, but for at least the cheapest price of the steak. So why do you get that discount according to Rava? Why don't you charge him for the actual value of the hana, like the steak itself?
You'd never actually buy that good of a
Seorim
for your animal.
Oh, good. That's what Rashi says, right? Dilma lo right? So the idea is like, l'chatchila, I never would have bought that kind of steak from an animal. So b'dievet, I'm not obligated to pay that price. I pay the discount, right? And Rashi here points us to a Gemara in Bava Basra Kuf Mem Vav, where the Gemara talks about discounting for Hana. We'll look at that case in a second. Okay, so we have Machlokes Rabba and Rava about how to evaluate the amount of the hana. Good? Okay. Now, the Gemara comments on this. So you see the section in the bottom of page 1 of Davar Harala? Yeah, so the Gemara says, look, we have rayas cutting both ways. Tani kavase de rabba, tani kavase de rabba. So then, interestingly, the Gemara talks about within rabba. So the Gemara says, Tani kavase de Rava, im nanis mishalemes masha nanis, ketzad. Does everybody see this? Bottom of page 1. Achla kabo kabayim, ein omrim tishalim de mehem. So let's say the animal ate an excessive amount of food, birshus arabim. So you don't say it pays for the food it ate. Ela omdim kama adam rota lahachi levehemto davar haroila apapish ena ragil. So if the animal ate, let's say, 10 steaks, birshus arabim, so that's excessive. So you don't pay for those 10. You just pay for a normal amount of steak that the animal would reasonably eat. If you're rationing its meals. You see that? Okay, and the Gemara therefore concludes, Lefichach, achla chitin o davar harala ptura. If the animal ate food that was ultimately bad for it, so it ate food that would get the animal sick, then the bialim is totally off the hook, because the bialim and the animal didn't actually benefit.
Why didn't they give that more direct nachmina?
Well,
that like if it ate 100 pounds of food, but no one would ever feed the animal that much, that you don't pay all of
it. You don't pay all that.
So why doesn't it give that more direct nachmina?
It does. Ain omrim tishalim demeyem, ela omdim kama adam rotsa lahachil of hemto davar haroyla, af pishena rugged. That's that nachmina. And the Gemara says, and further, right, as an extension of that same principle, if it ate a davar that's in a royal legamri, then your pater legamri. So the Gemara is making both of those points. You see that's Rashi. Rashi makes it clear the Gemara is holding both of those principles. Okay? Okay, now L'shem Shlemus, let me just point out that Machlokas had a paskin here, whether you pass on like Rabba or like Rava. These are my favorite. Like Klalei Psak issues. It's because do you go Hilchasa Kibasrai or do you follow the Rebbe in these cases? So look at the Rashba quotes this. Mm-hmm. And like the second source on page 2, Jonah, take it away. Rabba Amar.
Rabba Amar Dme Amir, Rabba Amar Dme Sorim, Yustap Gamilsa, Leinim Sak, Ishmishapasa Karaba, Zarabe, Zarabahu, Chimpasa.
Right, so some people ask him like Rabba because he's the Rebbe.
Ishmishapasa Karaba, Tubasra, Bahrai, Vizal Kimpasa Karaba, Misham, De Basrahu, who Bryson, the Rabbim, Kaima, Kabas.
Right, so the Klai Psak issue is always the Rebbe or the Basra, and that's Mahogas, whether you pass on like Rabba or Rabba here.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the second side issue that how to, in evaluating the in the chiv of Hana, how do we evaluate it? Okay, so now we get to the main event.
Rabba clearly disagrees with that. If they ate something harmful, you wouldn't pay anything.
It's not so clear, right? I mean, so Rabba says you pay Dmei Amir. I mean, how much you saved? It sounds like Mar only brings that lefichach within Rabba, right? That's not clear if Rabba would disagree. It conceptually depends on how. I mean, is this little machlokas about how much you pay? Is that really some fundamental machlokas about why you're paying for hana in the first place? Mm-hmm. Right. The more you emphasize actual hana as the machayev, the more you'll lean into Rabba's position. If you didn't benefit, you don't pay.
Right.
As we'll see later, the more you emphasize that you caused a loss to somebody else. And hana is just like a way of being mechayev for that loss, then it sounds like there are grounds to hold you chayev even if you didn't actually benefit at the end of the day. Because like we don't really care about the hana, we care more about the hefsid that you caused. And hana is like just some glue of trying to...
Or anyone think that like it's possible that you could pay more than you benefited them? Because theoretically, if it ate something harmful to it, so...
You caused a lot of loss.
No, you'll cause very little loss because it's something that like is not edible or whatever. Presumably it's very cheap.
But it doesn't mean that you didn't cause, meaning the fact that it wasn't edible to this animal doesn't mean that
you... Right, I'm just giving a hypothetical. Let's say it's something that's very cheap and like not edible and like an animal ate it, but now you saved, now the animal doesn't have to eat dinner.
Right.
So you saved the cost of dinner, which is more expensive than
right.
the thing that ate.
It would sound like it. It would sound like you would pay the hana amount even if it's greater than the hefset amount. It sounds like that's the principle.
Lashitasta.
Like in that Aish case? Yeah? Well, if the Mechayev is not Nezek, then the Mechayev is Hana.
Yeah, so it's not Lashitasta, you're saying.
Because you have a different Mechayev?
It's not Nezek.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so in several areas of Halacha, we know that you're Chayev for Hana. So what's the deal? Why are you Chayev for... Hana. China.
Because, as you mean, as opposed to Nezikin.
Yeah. So it's one thing. Look, we know that you're, chayev for nezek, cause somebody a loss, but then it seems like the halacha has a very strong principle of unjust enrichment. Also, that if you're enriching yourself from somebody else's property, then that's like it's improper. All right, so how do you understand these chive hana? Like, what's the basis for it? So it's not so. In our case, it's interesting because our case, the chive hana borders on a maisa nezek, mm-hmm. right? Your animal's mazik, quote unquote, pirshus harabim, and you're pater for the nezek, you're chayav for the hana. But in a lot of other cases, right? So there's no nezek at all.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's look, for example, at. You see this case of Nana Misivlonos,
yeah.
which Rashi actually refers us to? So it's a Gemara in Belbasra and Kufman Babma base. The Gemara there is talking about a couple that's engaged. They have a Suda to celebrate their engagement. And lo and behold, so the wife breaks off the engagement. She's Choseres. So the Gemara in Belbasra says that if she's Choseres, then she and her family have to pay back the husband for all the hana they received from the suda. Right? So they send a bill for... The husband sends a bill for all the yayin and the food that they consumed while they were celebrating. So that's a clear case where, look, there was no gzela, there's no nezek. I mean... It was perfectly with the agreement and the consent of the husband. and yet they're chayiv mitam hana.
Well, that could be chayiv hana, because it could be with consent on condition of getting married.
But they always, I mean, they always knew there's a possibility that engagement could be broken off. Well, not a possibility. B'shas shiduchin. So you're saying, well, mafrei, it's a kind of gezel, even though they had reshus, but they only had reshus al das that shiduchin right. goes through.
Like if they get divorced, it's not true that she paid everything back.
What?
If they get divorced 5 years later, it's not true that they paid everything back for the two does shiduchin.
You're saying because at least there was a kedushin they went through with it. Yeah. So the Rashbam, look at the Rashbam here in Kufna Vav in the base. Visham lohen basar bizol. So the idea is that yes, the family pays back the amount of hana they got, but they get a slight discount. So this Rashi here draws an equation between these Gemaras, because remember in the Demei Amir case, sorry, in the Demei Seorin Bizol, Rava gave you a discount. You don't pay the value of this basar, you get a slight discount off it. So the Rashbam here writes, Isaac, you want to read it? B'shem lehem basar bezol?
Hishkam.
Yeah, so he does say like you were saying, right? So, because they ate mitchila shalola das chazara, there was no intent that the shiduchim be broken off and go on shilu hayodeya.
But they would have eaten for the cheaper price.
Or they still have a chiv to pay back the Demei Basar Bezol. Right? Maybe the reason is because, look, you're still nana, maybe you would have bought this meat anyway at the cheaper price. So you see, it's a middle ground here. The idea is that they have to pay for the hana, but on the other hand, if not for the nuptials, they wouldn't have eaten all this like fancy meat. They only ate the fancy meat, assuming they wouldn't have to pay back for it. They wouldn't have to pay it back. So you come to a middle position where they pay back the hana, but at a discount. See that? That's the principle here. So it's kind of a pshara, it seems like, considering like the equities. Like they were nene, but like they wouldn't have bought this kind of food l'chatchila. Now what's interesting is the Rashbam here in Bava Basra extends, he draws an equation between our Gemara and that Gemara, as Rashi did in Bava Kama. V'hachanami Amru. Yeah. So do you think those cases are analogous?
Not at all.
Not at all, right?
Yeah. One, there's a very strong intent. It's completely allowed. Like, no one's getting burned per se.
Right, in the wedding case, right? It's case, like, yeah. Join me for my suda. Tzavu l'chaim.
The animal's not been dosed. There was no agreement. There was no
haskan. Right, and if anything, the animal's like Mamash Amazik, who just happens to be Pater versus Arabia. Right? And so it seems a little peculiar that we give him a discount that he pays the Mesor and Bezul in the same way that the wedding case gets a discount. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, so what do you think of that? I mean, maybe there's a chiddush here that Shein Bershus Rabim is not really Maisa Nezek. Right. Right? You leave your fruits there. It's like Mamish Chila Bershus almost in the same way the wedding is. So I think to make the analogy work, you really have to build up that, or build down the Shem Nezek side to Shem versus Rabim. Isaac, what do you think?
I would call it the opposite. Because isn't the whole point of the...
Build up the Nezek side of the wedding case?
No, but I wouldn't think of that. I was thinking more like the fact that like it's like portrayed like a compromise that like really he does owe the entire, really the people, really like the... woman's side owes the money for the entire feast, but like we discount it for like the fact that they wouldn't have bought it on their own.
Right.
So like if you compare those cases, it sounds like really the animal owner owns the entire value, but like we discount it for the fact that
he owes the entire value.
Yeah.
And then we just discount it because what? L'chatchila, he wouldn't have bought it for the animal on his own.
Yeah. So I guess maybe, I don't know if you want to call it like Shane Nezik, but like the fact that like we're building up the fact that like really you are archived, like the amount of damage you did.
Right, but the point is it makes sense to give a discount in the wedding case because I showed up to the chasna, right? You invited me, I ate it, and we had no reason to think it was going to be chozer.
Right.
And so the equities make sense that it, I mean, the equities suggest that I shouldn't pay full amount. Does that same consideration apply to the animal b'shus harabim case? My animal went, it pillaged food from your store b'shus harabim, and now we're saying, oh, I shouldn't pay the full amount because I never would have bought payrolls for my animal that are so expensive.
Okay, fine. So maybe my point is committed to making that point that like they really RFI it for like the gezel.
Yeah, in the wedding case. In the wedding case.
Right.
Because maybe in the wedding case, like you're saying, oh yeah, it's like nezek. And if the wedding is chozer, then there's mamish nezek here. That's the... Yeah, it's a very interesting analogy. Tony,
you
want to say something?
I'm wondering if you could like do it backwards a little bit, which is that you could say that in both scenarios there's a certain assumed risk being taken by
yeah.
the party, meaning like me putting my furniture
right.
around and me getting hosting a wedding feast is like, yeah, it might not go through, it might be consumed by someone and they're just around them.
Right.
Therefore, because of that, there's a certain equality there between the two cases.
Yeah, you're saying like, you know, both person assumes the risk that may come with somebody who eats at the wedding
right.
knows that he may have to pay.
Yeah.
And somebody who eats at the engagement knows they have to pay, and somebody who leaves his Paris in Rosh Hashanah knows that he's going to have to forfeit a certain amount. I think that like plays down the Shem Nezek side because it's really everything's precious. All right, good.
But
now
then,
notice.
I mean, but then you have to put it on the Nezek side because then it's not true that there's no consent in the Nezek case. Like there is consent,
right,
for
exactly.
The animals to eat the fruit.
There is consent.
There's a certain
assumption
risk.
Of risk, right? He's saying. As he's saying, has consent.
Which may be consent. Yeah.
Right.
It's not consent to an individual person to eat, but it's consent to...
Right, it's a rishus. What we would call loosely a rishus.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, look at the third case, the Rashbam points to build up this general theme. So we had seen this case, remember, in the lost prophets discussion. The Tzos quoted this case, get our Ramban here against Rashi. So the... This is the Yisomim who yarshined a para from their father. They thought the father owned it. It turned out he borrowed it. Mishalim d'me basar bizol. Right? So why do they pay bizol? So they pay for the hanah they got, not for the nezek. This is one of the exceptions, ademod liolam, because Bershus Ramban said. But they pay for the hanah that they got, or the food, but bizol. So again, the Rashbam says, same idea. That if it was mamish done innocently, like they wouldn't have bought this kind of meat on their own, so they get a discount. So he thinks it's generally the rule is you take a third, 1/3 discount to calculate bizol. It's not really so important for our purposes. Though it's interesting that we saw the 1/3 discount also in the Isha Shehizik, someone who's mazik, an Ishas Ish. Like it's split 2/3 and 1/3 between the wife and the husband. It's interesting that a third is usually the. You also find it in Bishara cases. All right, I'll call upon him. This is the rationale though for getting a discount off the hana, some equitable consideration that you wouldn't have bought this on your own. All right. Good. Any comments on that, guys?
But that doesn't
address
the question
of
why you're chayav for
hana. Yeah, so it doesn't tell us why you're chayav for hana. So this takes it for granted that you're chayav for hana. Mm-hmm. But it does say that there are reasons why we shouldn't hold you fully liable for all the hana.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what you see so far. Let me build up the hana issue. So if you look on top of page 3, we have the...
I mean, Robin's view is pretty self-sufficient, no? For why you pay hana.
How much you saved. I mean, in Robin's view that you pay...
Yeah, pay how much you saved.
The Dmei Amir.
Right.
Because that's mamish, how much you're a nene.
Right. And
Rav is a little less intuitive, right? You're paying.
Right. And I'm saying, it seems, I mean, I guess it's not self-sufficient completely, but like, it seems pretty intuitive. Like, you were gonna lose this much money anyway, the owner of the animal.
Right.
Like, why not direct the amount of money you were gonna lose to the person that
right.
actually was most harmed by the fact that you saved that?
Right. So it's really just like, Rava's like the minimum unjust enrichment, right? It shouldn't be that you get like a free meal off your neighbor. Like, you shouldn't be enriched off your neighbor gratuitously.
Off your neighbor's loss.
Off your neighbor's loss. Yes.
We don't need to like restrict trade between people.
Well?
So we don't need to like restrict trade between people, like, we're fine.
Right, right. Correct. If it's mutually beneficial. Whereas Rava is a little more complicated. Rava is already saying it's more like you're paying for the benefit, you're like paying for a service kind of thing, right? Even if you end up at a loss. According to Rava, you can end up at a loss. According to Rava, you really can't, right? According to Rava, you won't end up at a loss because you're always just going to pay what you would have coughed up anyway for your animal. According to Rava, you could end up losing money. Okay, so let's just look for, I just want to point out that this idea of paying for hana is really like a huge principle in halacha. It's one of the interesting cases where it seems like here halacha is, halacha diverges from like we would normally, from the liabilities that you normally have under secular law. So do you guys know the case of the Yor L'Toch Sadeh Shel Chaver Mashpicha, Bar Mitzvah case? Do you want to stick around next year? You could do some Bo Mitzia with us.
Sure.
Yeah?
I might have Mondays, but not Wednesdays.
What about Tuesday, Thursday?
I might have Tuesdays, but not Thursdays.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's like first half of the week I'm here, second half of the week I'm out.
I'll come one day a week.
We'll see if I can. I don't know what I would
have to. Oh, yeah. Schmack. Isaac, what are you?
Yeah, I listen to that already.
Very good. All right, so there's the so best, like half the case in the Bezdin are always like, oh, there's no contract, there's no agreement, but you could be chayav mitam yored toch sadeh shel chaveiro anyway. So you know the yored case is the end of a metziah case. You could see here it's paskin and shulchan aruch shenayin hey. So the principle is like some guy comes in, he gardens your land, even if you didn't contract him, you're chayav to pay. Ma'asim b'chol yom, right? The guy at the gas station, he comes and he squeegees your windshield, and then he wants to be paid for it. So one argument is that, look, I didn't ask him to provide the service. I'm not chayav to pay. But the Din of Yored says that if the guy conferred a benefit, then you're chayav to pay for the hana, regardless of whether you contracted the service. So that's the Paskin Din Simin Shinayin Hay. Now, if you look in Choshe Mishpat Simin Reish Samech Dalid, does everybody see that? This is the second source on page 3.
Yeah.
So Isaac, why don't you read that Rama? V'chein kol adam.
V'chein kol adam shalos en chaver ha'ula v'tova. Lo yichalom mar v'chein ha'masisi ma'adi ho'ev lo tzivisicha. El tzarek li'den osara.
Yeah. That's just the Ran, yeah. So you see, it's a very broad principle, right? Anytime somebody confers a benefit on a friend, so the recipient can claim, oh, I thought you were doing it for free. The presumption is that you're chayv li'ten osara. You receive a benefit, you pay. So this gets past, all the poskim love this verse, Adchanim. Shachin suggests an idea, and you didn't ask for the idea, but you end up marrying the girl, so you're chayav to pay Shachanus, just under the same principle. It's that kind of shekeinena idea. So you can see here that, well.
You extract it back when you break up.
Yeah, you break back. Well, I think you only give it if you end up getting engaged.
Yeah. And you break it to get back.
Well,
saying you can take it back and break off the engagement.
It's a shayla. It's a shayla. When is shadchanas due? Is it for the marriage or is it for the engagement? I think it's totally in that shtickle Torah about engagements.
Yeah, but it's fair that regardless of the shtickle Torah of engagements, like, you didn't benefit at all.
Meaning if...
Even if you end up getting divorced 15 years later, you didn't benefit at all, you know?
I benefited from my freya. There's no hana.
My freya is probably worse off.
Really? Yeah. You have to die together in order for there to be hana? It's not hana until you're buried together? I don't know. So I'm not sure about the mitzias. So, yeah, it's true. Let me just find this one. There's maybe one interesting exception here in the next source in Simin Shin Lamed Hei. Do you want to take us through Shin Lamed Hei here? I love this Simon, yeah.
I'm tutoring.
Shalomi Dasaav. So you pull a kid out of his, out of shul, and you teach him a Mishnah, right? Right, so you take a kid out of shul, you teach him a Mishnah, and then you go to the father and say, oh, pay me my rate, my tutoring rate.
really
going to submission. So the Yishcholkim here is because maybe you can't really charge for Talmud Torah, so that blocks you from charging for the Hana. But you see here, it's also no, it's an open shaila whether you could, if not for the fact that, you know, ma ani b'chinam afatem b'chinam, then you should also be, anytime you teach somebody something, they should be obligated to compensate you for the conferred service. Yeah, that's that. So I think we just, I mean, it seems very clear in halacha that we have a very liberal conception of unjust enrichment. That mom is just benefiting from somebody when they have some expenses, that's considered to be unjust enrichment. That I shouldn't be allowed to free ride off somebody else's service. And so the halacha always imposes an obligation to pay for it. So unjust enrichment is when, again, it's a kind of a gzela, right? It's where, a gzela is just where I'm taking something from you, I'm benefiting from your property. And the halacha here seems to say that even if it's not unjust, the fact that I'm benefiting at your expense makes it unjust, right? So it doesn't have to be some sort of wrongful taking. Just the mere fact that I'm benefiting at your expense is a wrongful taking.
That you're going to be not to obey them?
Well,
do you have an obligation to go see your after that benefited you and pay them?
I mean, if there's no tvia,
yeah.
You might say if there's no tvia, then there's an assumption of mechila or something. You might say that. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a, like in principle, the chi is not there. So, again, so I just think the best way to explain this is like the halacha really just has a very strong view of what unjust enrichment is. Whereas in secular law, it's only unjust enrichment if like you did something unjust. The mere benefit is not what makes it unjust. Whereas in halacha, no, that's, it's unjust by in virtue of the fact that you benefited without compensating the other party. I don't know, you guys have thoughts on this? Isaac. Very powerful principle. I mean, it's mamash ma'isim b'chol yom. Shulchan Aruch somewhere says that, you know, even if you have guests over to your house for a meal, you could send them a bill based off of Chumash Adeshen. You could send them a bill afterwards for the meal. There's no presumption that you're recovering the cost of the meal. I might say nowadays that's like, you know, the minug is clearly like, if I invite you over, then it's, I'm inviting you over and you're not obligated to pay for the food. But in the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like Meikar Adin, there's a tviya, there's no, like this Ramah, that there's no presumption that I'm doing it b'chinam. All right. Okay, so that's the background principle. So we have, what?
In that teaching case, can you get, according to the Falcon, can you get Schar Batala? Like, is that something?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it, because Schar Batala is not for the conferred benefit.
Right. But I'm saying, okay. But even though it's not for the conferred benefit, I'm saying use the benefit is unjustly, like, according to this robust
statute. I think the point is, Ma'ani Bechina means that it's not unjustly. Meaning, Ma'ani Bechinam vitiates the unjust, because I have a duty to teach you for free, so your benefit from my teaching is not unjust.
Right, but you do have a duty, I guess the father would have a duty to spend Schar Batala in order to educate his kid.
I'm not sure if his father has a duty to. The father has a chiv to pay if a melamed refuses to do a bechinam. Right? So you might say that if the Malami takes the initiative to teach, then he waives his rights to collect on it. We had one of our gentoras turned on this idea that to be a tuition case. Well? Yeah. Okay, so we have two paradigms here. So we have, we know from what we've been learning all year, we have a paradigm of Nezikin. Right, I'm liable for the harm and the damage that I impose. And then we have this other paradigm in halacha of hana, right, paying for a benefit. Now, the question is, what's the relationship between these two principles? Right, what's the relationship between the obligation to pay for someone's losses and the obligation to compensate somebody for the benefits that they bestow upon you? But are these like really two separate principles, or do they get at a certain core common machayev? So you might say this is really the suffix that's at the heart of our discussion on Chaf Amid Aleph. So here in the middle of page 3, we have the Gemara's discussion. So does everybody see this? Hadar b'chatzar chaveyo shelo b'rishos, the zenen avizel lo chaser shayla. Okay, so Jonah, take us away.
I'm really with Chris Lerayim Barchama lo habis gaban b'orcha b'tchuma b'baylam milay ma'al yisa.
Right, Chaval, you weren't here on Shabbos when we had such a good discussion based on Medrash.
Amar, my milay ma'al yisa. Amar le, hadar b'chatzar chaveyo shelo midai t'otzer ha'alos l'schar o ein zarech.
Yes, here's the crucial line of the Gemara. Hechidami.
It's a place where like no one really is not habitable.
So if it's an apartment that's not typically rented out, and a person who doesn't typically rent, Rashi says it means all his friends are willing to give him a free apartment, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a case of ze lo nene veze lo chaser. So in that kind of a case, there's clearly no grounds for compensation because there's no loss and there's no benefit, right? So that sound reasonable to everybody?
Yeah.
I think that's like the one line in the Gemara that's totally plausible, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ela b'chatzer.
Ela b'chatzer d'kayma le'agra, d'gavar d'avad le'megar, zenen v'zeh chaser.
Are you using this room now?
No, I'm sorry. I'm looking for a book scene.
Is he using this room now?
So if it's someone who would rent and someone who would rent out, then this would be against Zenana Vizachaser, so that's too simple.
Good. So if it's Zenana Vizachaser, so the Gemara takes it as obvious that you're chayev, mm-hmm. right? Now, it's not clear why is it obvious that you're chayev in this case? Mm-hmm. Is it because of the hana, right? Or is it because of the chisaron, right? So the Gemara says it's pshita, the Gemara doesn't tell us why it's pshita, right? So if it's a person who typically rents, so he saves money by not paying rent in this case, and somebody who's losing money by not being able to rent it out, then zenen of zechaser vada there's chiyev. So lo tzricha.
Lo tzricha. B'chaser de lo kaim al agra. B'gavar de avid lamegar.
Right. So it's a case where the chaser is not typically rented out, but the squatter typically pays rent. So it's zenen of zeh lo chaser. Yeah.
Matzi amar le, my chisartich.
I think Mara seems to be asking, well, look, what's the basis for the chiyuv in the zen and the zechaser case? Is it the fact that there's hana, right? Matzi amar le, matzi amar hayis hanis, or matzi amar le mai chisartich?
Right.
So Mara's kind of posing this conceptual question, right? Which what's really the machayev here, the loss or the gain? Mm-hmm. See that, Isaac? Okay. Now, let me just make a point that. It's a bit of a side point, but it's just crucial in applying this case. What exactly is the standard for a chatzer de lo kai malagra? Right, what constitutes an apartment that's not typically rented out? So if you look at this Orzarua here in the next source. Mm-hmm. You see, as far as the Ruan Chilik in Simon Kufchav Dalid? Does anybody see that? Isaac, you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, so he says, Upasak Mori Barabi Rabinu Aviezri, De im ein ish mishtadel bo lesocho lahaskir, laskiro, afal gav de ilu hava bailam hacha hava mogri le, kivan de lesnu hacha lohu velo shlucho, hador bo pater, de have kiman de lo koi la agra. So he says it's not about whether Bailim would want to rent out this home. It's about whether Befoel, like you mamish, deprived him of a tenant. See that? So the idea is that, yes, even if I put my apartment on Airbnb whenever I can, and you happened to squat in it on a weekend when it wasn't being rented out, so, or Zeruah thinks that's a chaser de lo kai malagra. Right? So it's still considered lo chaser. Chaser is defined by whether lemaisa you deprived him of a tenant. You see that? So the
Yam.
Well?
It just sounds like you have the ability to rent it out and you're trying to.
Right.
Is that the same as like lemaisa?
Kiven the less new hacha, lo hu velo shlucho, hador bo pater, to have a command de lo kai la agra.
Yeah, at this point, just like you're not able to put it on the market at the time. But like if you're able to list it and then.
You're saying I formulated it too strongly. You're saying
yeah, like Airbnb gets rid of this whole issue
because
once you're able to,
like, I could list it. So it's not about whether before I deprived you. You're saying it's about whether I could have listed it or could have theoretically could have sold it at this time. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm not sure if that's the distinction he wants to draw, but yeah, that's definitely a possibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me see. If we look at Rashi. Look at Rashi's Divir Maskel Zechaser from the bottom of page 3, the second to last line of page 3. Zechaser, see what he says? Did Chatzero Kaima Lahaskir Vehava Mogir Lahachrini. From Rashi, it sounds like he's Chaser because it's Kaima Lahagra and he would have rented it out to somebody else. So from Rashi, it sounds like if he wouldn't have been able to rent it out to somebody else, then you'd be pater because there's no true chisaron. No? So you're saying there's a difference between the Or Zeruah and Rashi, right? For Rashi, it's... So Rashi is the way I was reading the Or Zeruah. Right? Meaning Rashi, it's about lemaitha, did I deprive you of a tenant? And the Or Zeruah is saying, no, it's about whether I could have rented it out. Right? Is it conceivable that I could have rented it out? It's a little weaker than Rashi. Yamshel Shlomo disagrees with the Or Zeruah, and he goes in the exact opposite direction. So it's a third shita. So the Or Zeruah quotes a Yesh Cholkin Alav. He just says V'yesh Meshivin Alze. So basically, the Yamshel Shlomo, and he says he agrees with the people who disagree with the Or Zeruah and the Ravya. And the underlying section says V'chein Nira Kedasa Cholkin Alav Ki Me'achar She'im Hoyu Abaylim Bekan Hoyu Maskir Mabayis. Even if the Baalim couldn't have rented it out because they're away, if they were, had they have been here, they would have rented it out. Have a kibayis to kaila agra. V'hakol tali b'masha omed habayis lahaskir. Is it the kind of apartment that's usually rented out? And he says it's meduyak from the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says bayis to kaima laagra v'gavra da'avir lemeger. V'lo amar ilema b'gavra da'avir lemogar. So it all depends on the kind of apartment it is. If it's the kind of apartment that's rentable, then it's kaima la'agra, and you're liable to pay. So you see, so it's really a third shita. According to the Yamshel Shlomo, so long as this apartment is sometimes rented out, and the Baalim would have wanted to, then it's considered chaser. You see that? From Jonah.
Yeah, and just,
so we have three shitas. According to Rashi, it's about lemaisa, did you deprive him of a tenant? According to the Or Zeruah, it's about could he have leased it out physically, right? And according to the Yamshel Shlomo, it's about no, is this the kind of apartment that's generally rented out? And if yes, then it's considered chaser. So everybody see, Isaac, you see those three shitas? Okay, Jonah.
Yeah, just in terms of like, for example, you think about like either a baseball game or a plane, right?
Or
like a plane ticket,
right?
Right. So they have these special sections, and they have like, you know, the economy of the coach. And what they do is that they don't let you move up, right, for free or for something like that. Why? Because, like, they want to retain the value
right.
of that. Meaning there's a certain amount of pisar. I'm like, why would I rent it out if I could do it for free, if I know I can move up for free? Or why would I pay for the cheap, more expensive
right.
ticket?
Right.
So, in that sense, I'm wondering if there's, like, either anyone says that or the Yamshel Shlomo is kind of hinting towards
that's
that.
Pshat and chisaron. Meaning yeah. that the chisaron is the fact that, like, it devalues the market if people could squat and yeah, it's a very good point. So you're saying that maybe like the reason for the Yamshel Shlomo's shita
yeah,
is because like that's what a chisaron is,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like the way it affects the market is right. not in Rashi's sense because
no.
right
because you need a real tenant there needs to be a real loss.
Right. Yeah, it's a very good point. Isaac Ayer's point in Moscow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. It's like the tampering with the market is what triggers the chisaron. Yeah, I think that's correct. Okay, so that's the point about Chatzar Dekayim Ela Agro. Now, I want to pursue the broad question that's implicit in the Gemara's question. So is it about the Gemara's question in Zenen of Zelochaser, can he say, you were Nene, so you're chayav to pay? Or could the tenant respond, Halo chisarticha, right? You didn't lose anything. Meaning, is the mechayiv here really based off the gains, the hanoah-based mechayiv, unjust enrichment? Or is the mechayiv really based off nezek? Okay. Now you can see that Kilas Yaakov, in Bava Kamma Siman Yud Ches, this is in the second to last source on page 4, he just poses this chakira very nicely. And he says, does everybody see the Kilas Yaakov? Mm-hmm. That's a case of zeh nene v'zeh chaser, right? Chayiv, imhu midin nene olo. I mean, on the olo side is the mitam nezek. But l'chora muchaf, the lav mishum nene mischayiv, so he's going to prove that it's not mitam hana. Sharei hadar b'chatzer chavero, hecha de zeh nene v'zeh lo chaser, kaimel and depater. V'yim kein had the mechayvinan le hecha sheze nene v'ze chaser bal karchach shezeu mishum hachaser lefi de kaim la agra v'chisra le bal habayis masha hayachal likach agra v'yim kein muchach de chayiv avur hachaser she'asa lechavero afilu b'deleka hana. So he's saying, in the case of zen nene v'zechaser, is the mechayev the hana or is the mechayev the nezek? He wants to argue the mechayev is the nezek. Okay, how does he argue that? What's his proof? Right. If a mechayev is the hana, he should be chayev even, and he should always be chayev in zenen of zelochaser. Right. So he wants to prove that the mechayev here is really the nezek. Okay. It's not obvious. It's really not an obvious contention. So you have a good way of disproving his contention.
Because it's not unjust if the other guy doesn't lose anything.
Exactly. Meaning, if the guy. The reason why you're putter in... Really, you should be chayef for hana. Even in a case of zeh nene v'zeh lo chaser. But we putter you mitzad acher because of kofen lamidas stom. Right? The idea is that, like, yes, you're liable mitam hana, but we can neutralize that liability if we could kick in this principle of, oh, it's wrong to charge somebody if you don't lose at all. Kofen al-midas stom, kofen al-lefnim yishur sadin principle. See that? So everybody agrees to the fact of the matter that zenene v'zeh chaser is chayiv. The question is, conceptually, why are you chayiv? Kilas Yaakov is arguing that you're chayiv because you're a mazik. We'll see the Pnei Yoshua has the opposite argument. If you wanted to skip down to the Pnei Yoshua for a second, we'll come back here, but it looked to the Pnei Yoshua on page 7. See the underlined section of the Pnei Yoshua on page 7? Mm-hmm. So look at the first underline. So had the misafka leisham, b'zeh nene b'zeh lo chaser, hayne mishum de'iko lememar b'chiyai gavna kofin al midas stom, kivan shehala eno mafsid klal. Right, the grounds for the p'tur in zeh nene b'zeh lo chaser is not the fact that there's no nezek, it's the fact that you're chayiv for hana, but it's wrong to charge you for hana when the confer of the benefit doesn't have any expenses for it. And then look in the last line, what the Pnei Yoshua writes, in the last underlined section there. Halavadai she'ikar hachiv hu b'shvil shenene. So again, contra the Kilos Yaakov. V'hatam shachri rusa, and you'll see it in cases where a small hefsted makes you chayiv, eino ba ella hatzilo milomar shehimidas stone. You need a small chisaron in order to make sure that it's not a midas stom case. Like, it's midas stom. Are you familiar with midas stom? Mm-hmm. Right, midas stom is that it's one party's not losing at all, then he doesn't have a right to object to the other person's benefit. So you see, there's really a fundamental machlokas here, why zen nenev is a chaser is chayev. According to the Kilas Yaakov, You're chayiv mitzad achisaron, mitam nezek. And he proves it from why, from zenene, v'zeh lo chaser is pater. According to the Pnei Yoshua, the reason why zenene v'zeh chaser is chayiv is because the hana, the reason why you're pater and zenene v'zeh lo chaser is for the external consideration of kofen amidasto. That's really the fundamental machlokes in the sugya here. Okay? Okay, what's an important nafgamina about whether the mechayev is the hana or the nezek?
Meitav.
Right? That's exactly the... That should be the clearest nafgamina. So if you look here on page bottom of page 4, this is our famous Or Sameach from the beginning of the year. Your Niskei Mom and Aleph Beis. So he's mesupak about whether these cases of zenene v'zelo chaser or zenene v'zechaser should be chayiv. Sorry, in the cases of zenene v'zechaser, he's mesupak whether you're chayiv to pay with meitav or can you get away with paying non-meitav like a balchov. So it seems right to think that avad, if it's mitam nezek, you'll pay meitav. Whereas if you're just paying for the hana, then it's mistaver that you could pay just as a regular balchov. It's an interesting question whether you should pay meitav even on the tzad that you're paying for the hana. What do you think of that? I mean, for sure if it's meitav, for sure if it's nezek, you should pay meitav. But what if you're just paying for the hana shibo? Do you think that should trigger a chiyuv meitav? What do you think, Isaac?
I don't know. I mean, like, I could hear that argument that, like, if, like, you really want to play unjust enrichment.
Right, it's like, it really leans into gzela. Right.
Then, like, yeah, they were going to, like, make you pay meitav for that also.
Right, so maybe it really depends on also how we conceptualize the unjust enrichment part. Is that, like, a mamash, like, a gzela kind of unjust enrichment? Or is it, like, a weaker principle that it's, you know, appropriate to...
But do you make pay meitav for gzela?
In Gzela, you do pay meitav. Isn't it listed in the lists in the beginning of Bava Kamma? Like in the Daf Dal, the Daf Hey, where you, all those things you pay meitav aretz?
Yeah.
Right? Because of the Xer Sakasov? No, Jonah?
Yeah, I think so.
There's ring a bell? Of, right? Isn't Tashlum a.
14 and whatever?
What? Yeah.
It's in the list of 7, 14,
right. 21. So I think you would pay meitav for classic cases of Gazel. He quotes here, in the bottom, in the Or Sameach, he quotes here Shid Rashba, who says that you don't have to pay Meitav, but he says that he thinks the Rashba is, it's not clear the Rashba is correct. Okay, good. Okay, now another interesting way of trying to tease out this tension here about whether you're chayav for the Hana or for the Nezek. So, is what happened in the following case. So the Gemara gave us 3 cases, right? Gemara is masupik about the case of Zenen and Zelo Chaser. The Gemara is poshate the cases of, let's see if I get this right, Zenen and Zelo Chaser. In that case, you're Vada Chayiv. And the Gemara is poshate the case of Zelo Nen and Zelo Chaser, where Vada your potter. But what happens in the case of Zelo Nen and Zelo Chaser? Right, so it's a sada dekaima la agra, but it's a gavra de lo avidi le megar. So the guy, the squatter, is like such a chash of a guy, he can get any hotel for free. Right, so he never pays rent. But the landlord wants to rent out his property, right? So he's chaser, he loses Airbnb for the weekend, but there's no benefit to the squatter. So what happens in that case? Right, then notice the Gemara left out that Bava.
Meaning, regardless of the question of whether the Mechayim in the case of Zen and Zechaser is the Hana or the Chisaron, is there a fallback of the Mechayim of Chisaron in the case of the Hana?
So, correct. Meaning, can we hold you Chayiv for Chaser without a Mechayiv of Hana? See the question?
Why wouldn't we be able to? Like, why wouldn't that mean the Zika?
Oh, why wouldn't it be a stam case of Nezek? Right? So look here on page 5. So you see the category of Zeh Lo Nene V'Zeh Chaser? That's our question, right? So you have Tosfos on Chaf Amud Aleph. Dear Maskal Zein or Nana. Isaac, take it away. Oh! Right, so this is one that you're potter in such a case, because there's no Hannah. So I squat in your land, and I deprive you of rent, Airbnb rent. So that's a Grama Ba'alma. Right, where's the Maisa Nezek? I squatted here, and that indirectly blocked you from renting it out, so that caused you to lose profits. I'm Grama Benazikin Potter. That's Tosos' argument. Now, the Rif and the Rambam famously disagree with Tosos. So here's the Rambam in Gzeil of Aveda.
The Kilos Yaakov is clearly inconsistent,
right?
What? The Kilos Yaakov is clearly inconsistent.
Because he thinks there's Mechayev is really Nezek, right? So we'll see. Well, that's what the Rambam and the Rif are going to hold at your Chayev. So, yeah, let's look at this Rambam. Jonah, why don't you just read the underlying section?
Okay.
Notice that's the case of ze lo nene ve ze chaser.
Yeah.
Oh, Rambam says you're chayev because you're mechaser mamon. Okay. What about Tosa's argument of Grama ben Azikin Potter? So the Rush raises this back and forth, quotes the Re, and the Re's argument of Grama is the Russian Beis Vav. Then he quotes the Rif, who disagrees. So you everybody see? So you look in the fourth line of the Rush, which says Rav Elfazal. See that? Rav Elfazal kasav. Like Rambam, that's where the Rambam gets it from. And he thinks that this is muchach from our Gemara. Anytime there's chisarim, you're going to be liable. So this works out well for the Kilas Yaakov's argument, right? Okay, what's pshat? So Isaac, take away the underlined section. Miu kvar chafti. Oh, sorry. But ikal lechiyuve, mehai taima ikal lechiyuve.
Oh,
yeah.
As if you consume that guy's loss.
Yeah. So what's he saying here? So he's saying it's not Grama ben Azikin Potter. Because you're ochel chetzron oshel zeh. And it's not comparable to a case where you simply lock somebody out of their store. Why? Yeah. So notice you're accruing benefit through being ochel chetzron chavero, even though you're not nene. Because remember, it's a gavro de lo avid lemegar. This guy can get any hotel room he wants.
So it's not benefit in the sense that like it saves you any money, but it's benefit in the sense that like you're
mice or you're living there. Yeah, I think we could even say more strongly that strictly speaking, there's no hana. Right? You're not getting hana, but you are mazik in a way that you're ochel hachisaron. It's a sui generis category. Where it's not just that I cause your nezek. It's I cause your nezek in a way that I'm consuming your loss. Right? I'm not benefiting from the consumption, but I'm consuming your property. Now, right, afagav shelo nene, he says. So by hypothesis, no hana.
Is what you're saying different than like basically like
you know,
a 10-year-old
attenuated
or something like that?
Like
you're not benefiting in monetary sense, but you're benefiting in like the physical sense.
Yeah. So I think there are two ways of formulating this idea. One way is just to say that it's not Grama ben Azikin because you're considered to be more active, not in terms of the way you cause the loss, but in terms of your role in the Maisa Nezek. right? So if I just lock you out of your apartment and you can't rent it out, so then I'm a goreim. But if I'm mamish living in there, then I'm more involved in the chisaron. So that makes me a adam hamazik rather than a grama bin azikin. Does that make sense? And that's what he means, like your ochel chisrono shel zeh. If you're like actively involved in the nezek, then you can't claim grama and patter your way out. What do you think of that? Does that make sense? I think the other way of looking at this is that closer to what Isaac was saying, this is a kind of hana. That's what you're saying, Isaac?
Yeah.
Right?
But then again, hana might be a way of saying you're involved, no?
Meaning what?
Like the reason why you need hana for the reason why you need hana for grandma music is because it's a way of making you involved.
More involved in it.
Yeah, so.
Right. It's not clear that it's a separate reason.
Because the
Mechayev
still is the Chisaron, it seems like not the
Hana. Right, in this case.
Right.
Right. So the question is, how egregious is the Chisaron? Right? So you might say, yeah, like the Kilos Yaakov is saying, Zeh Nenev Zeh Chaser is liable als Mazik. Right? The Hana makes you more of an egregious Mazik. Right? We can't discount the Grum and Azikin because you're a beneficiary.
Right.
It's a very interesting Kiddush in Grum and Azikin, right? That proximate cause will be determined based off these other factors like Hana. And then the point is that you don't even need active Hana to rise to that level of a Mazik. Even Ochel Chisrono Shel Zeh is sufficient to make you a real Mazik, right? Because you're consuming the loss. Rather than benefiting from it. So I think this idea is very important because it shows, like the Kilos Yaakov, the Machayev here is really the Nezek, and if we could show that you're an egregious Mazik through being Ochel Chisron or Shel Zeh, we could do away with the Hana requirement. Jonah, how does that sound to you?
I guess I'm kind of just having a hard time like being a chalik between like a regular random case of grama and this, meaning like, okay, fine, so why is this so different that I'm fully consuming?
Ochel Chisron Shel Zeh.
Yeah. Meaning like, for example, I don't know, like, what other cases of grama we talked about, like the one in the Karam? Like.
That's Garmi, right?
That's Garmi, okay, fine, so.
Isaac going to help him out?
With what?
Like, what?
His troubles.
Like, what's that? It's just the flip between, like, this case and, like, another case of grama. Like in other cases of Grub and Ezekiel, I've also outed him on certain money that was his, and like, why are we saying like, oh, but here, like, he really outed it. It's completely achel versus in those cases where it's not necessarily.
Wait, they're not. Maybe I'm misunderstanding your question, but we're not saying that like you're like he's really out. We're saying that like you are like the direct beneficiary of the damage that you're causing. So like in terms of like the. Like indirectness of the damage, it's the same. But in terms of the fact that like you're like the direct beneficiary of the damage, like that makes you like more of a proximate cause, or that makes like whatever we're able to view you more as a proximate cause of the damage.
Uh-huh. Right. I mean, it mitigates the grumma by the fact that you're so actively involved.
Interesting.
See that? So, is a chiddush in grumma and azikin pater? Because you would say that grumma and azikin pater is just about. You did an action, how far removed is the nezek from your action? But the idea here is that there are other things that can vitiate the grama part.
Yeah.
Right? So like the more you're active,
mm-hmm.
like through ochel peros,
mm-hmm.
that's like a stick. It makes you higher for it, even though you're not the proximate cause. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the argument here. I think it's a very interesting position.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you look at the Nebuka Yosef on the he also has like a similar position. So he quotes Tosos, he quotes the Ra'ah, who says that Kol ha-ga'onim pe'echad say that you're chayiv in ze chaser v'ze lo nene. And again, he distinguishes between the grama cases and ochal peirosav. And here he says, oh, you're like an ochal peiros. It's very similar to the Rosh's position. So it's the ra'ah, that he goes to the ra'ah, the ritva, and the rama, who all agree with the Rosh's conclusion that you're chayiv because you're ochal chisron ashal zeh. All right? Whereas Tosos, you might say, Tosos who disagrees holds more like the Pnei Yoshua's argument that the liability really only rises under nene, and if you're not nene, then you're going to be pater. Seder?
Mm-hmm.
Good? All right.
Can I do it with my car?
Well?
I need to go move my car.
Okay, so you want to maybe... Should we just stop here for now and then...
It's going to take me a minute, but we can stop if you want.
John, you have to leave at 1?
I leave at 1:30, but like preferably 1 so I can get...
So I'm going to take a break. Time and a break? How's that sound?
Great.
Great. Take our time and a break. Might as well wrap up this sugya.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to get lunch too, so
why don't you get lunch now?
I get lunch now?
Okay. Yeah. Want to take a 15-minute break?
Okay.
Great. Just go ahead. 15-minute break.